Welcome to Living the Word Today with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
Well, I am so glad to have you join us today, that you would give a few minutes of your time to join us here in this discussion we're going to have. This is the second of our discussion format. Typically, recharge videos that we do are just me talking into a camera and being delivered onto your device. Usually just a little bit of scripture, a little bit of encouragement for you. But over the summer months, we're bringing in some guests from various places and to talk about various topics. So let's just talk about our topic for the day. And you're going to see it right there, okay? Overcoming discouragement. And I think it's universal that we've experienced this, I tend to think that it seems to be a universal experience. But let's just discuss what we can do to understand this, overcome it. Maybe you're right now in a moment of time when you're feeling particularly discouraged, or maybe there's someone in your life that is feeling discouragement, and you're here to gain some tools to help them. So I am very happy today to let me get my buttons all pushed here, to welcome a friend of mine of many years now. We're sounding like old guys, but of many years, and his name is Dwight Lehman. Dwight, thank you for joining us today.
It's great to be here, Jesse.
Well, it's good to see you and to connect digitally over all these miles. Tell the folks where you're actually geographically located at the moment.
I live in Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay. And Dwight, I was thinking how long ago it was I met you, but probably early to mid-80s, I would imagine. And when you were in an educational ministry not far away. But Dwight has been a pastor and a professor and missionary on the field, working with mission agency, and you've just done it all, my friend.
Well, not quite.
We're not done yet.
Right.
We still have a few things left to do.
Yeah, God's not finished with me yet.
Praise the Lord for that. You know, as long as there's breath, there's something for us to do and that sort of thing. So anyway, thank you for joining me. And I know this topic that you've not only dealt with in the pastorate, but I would assume you can share whatever you'd like, but discouragement in your own life. And I would raise my hand and say I've been in that category many times. But also, you've had a ministry of mentoring and helping and assisting people in ministry in various parts of the world, and I've seen that in action. Dwight and I, probably about 12 years ago, something like that, we traveled down to South America together, had a wonderful time. It was wonderful for me. I hope it was wonderful for you.
Yeah,
it was a great time. And I viewed my role with the people I was speaking to and teaching during that time to hopefully be an encouragement to them. And it was a missions retreat where all your personnel come together just as a time of spiritual refreshment. So let's just, when you think of discouragement, maybe we should just try to define this. How would we describe discouragement? How would you describe discouragement? How would we quantify that?
Well, you know, the dictionary definition is a lack of courage, but I always tend to think of it, a fear of failure or fear of something that's ahead or behind you that's caused you to become disheartened is how I kind of talk about it. It's not depression. A lot of people kind of equate it with depression. It could lead to depression, but it's not depression. It's just being discouraged. Just something has really kind of tipped off this feeling of no hope or loss of hope.
Yeah. Is it sort of a, see if this fits. Would you think it's sort of a loss of the expectation of something good's going to come out of this? It's sort of like the negative perspective becomes the dominant or maybe the exclusive perspective. You know, I'm stuck. It's hopeless. You know, I can't figure a way out. There's nothing I can do.
Yeah, and it comes to people in different ways, of course. Everybody's unique. So, but I think you're exactly right. I think so often in biblical terms, so I think of Israel when they were kept from entering Canaan, how discouraged they became. that they created a lot of hassles for Moses.
And yeah, not a good time. No.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And you remember what Joshua said then, hey, be of good courage.
Yes. You know? Yes. So maybe flip that around. Courage leans you forward. You want to, you believe there's hope. And, you know, and I think you mentioned Joshua. I think, remember, he was one of the 12 spies, and they went, and, you know, 10 of the spies, like, thumbs down on this. And, you know, there's giants in the land, and we don't stand a chance. We're like a bunch of grasshoppers out here. They're going to squash us like bugs. And, and Joshua's like, no, you know, he had the go forward attitude.
Yeah, and remember, in that word, discouragement is the word courage, right in the middle. So
yeah. All right. Well, very good, very good. What? Let's just talk for a moment. Maybe this would be helpful, because I want, you know, we sort of have to connect to the feeling, because, like, okay, is that me? Am I discouraged? Yeah. Whatever. But what would you think are some common? Obviously, there's unique situations, but common causers. What's the common causes of someone being discouraged? What have you seen over many years of ministry?
Well, I think unmet expectations. Somebody, I think particularly as students, when I was at the Bible College as a dean of students, I remember students who would expect certain things, a grade or a dating relationship to go better, or a relationship with parents to be better, or with a professor, and they would come to me and say, you know, I just don't know what to do. You know, they were discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be those kinds of things. In today's world, I think it could be a lot of things. Just the fact that you missed an appointment that you were supposed to keep, or were late for it, and you get discouraged. Mm-hmm. Or I mean, it can be that simple. Or it can be as bad as parents with children who don't follow the Savior, or who are out of sync with reality, or whatever, or get into some kind of bad behavior.
Okay.
So it could be all those kinds of things. I mean, it could be the gamut of discouraging times.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you think we're living in discouraging times? Yeah. We talked before we started the stream today, that at least for me, it seems like there's people that are dealing with discouragement. There's just something about life. It's something about the world. Something about, it just seems discouraging. And maybe that's always the case. And maybe I'm just looking at it through a particular lens.
Well, I don't think things are going to go back to what we call normal, whatever that is.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's going to be another normal. I think it's going to be, and that's discouraging. It's discouraging to me that, you know, we've had to watch church on Zoom.
I mean, yeah. You
know, or on YouTube. And it's like, really? This is not church. It's community. And I'm not in a community anymore. And, we maintained a life group. I led a life group. And some of them became very discouraged because we did it all, you know, by internet.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, and I was just walked into a medical facility this morning, and all the signs were, you must wear a mask. How discouraging is that?
We assume you're diseased. Put a mask on.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't mind. I just.
No, you do what you need to do.
I'm sure some of the folks were really discouraged about that.
Right. Right. That's still true here in West Virginia, although most public places, no mask, but if medical facilities, it's still.
Yes.
That's very much, very much required, and understand that. Yeah. Well, true. Okay. Well, good. Let's go back. Let's swing back around to that expectation thing. Cause I think that's, I think maybe the devil wants to have us forget that we live in a fallen world.
Yeah.
And some of us that do what we do, you know, I think, you know, so camp on the positive, and there's such positive of our faith and promises of God, but, you know, we don't talk about suffering. We don't talk about living in a sinful world. We don't talk about struggling with our own sinful tendencies. So, you know, if we just put all of the, you know, all the glamorous things of the Christian life, and then you feel like, well, what, I'm struggling here. What's wrong with me? How come I don't have what someone else has? So are we guilty of sometimes creating a wrong expectation, and does our enemy use that to his advantage?
Oh yeah, I mean, I find myself creating expectations all the time. I'm not quite a control freak, but I like things under control. You know,
I'm organized.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Not a control freak. I'm organized.
I got it from my dad. My dad had files of files. You know,
yeah,
kind of thing. I have more electronic stuff now. You know,
yeah,
files.
Sure.
But the whole idea is that you build around yourself these kind of expectations, these things that you kind of go, well, why didn't that happen? Why can't I seem to get this right? And I think that comes sometimes because of our personality, or maybe it's our circumstance where we live, how we do things. It's expectations, I think. I think of several people who have expectations of their neighbors in the neighborhood they live in. They expect them to keep their front yards clean, or junk in the, you know, in the closet and not on the front lawn, and their cars parked off the street. This happens in our subdivision quite often. There'll be
that only happens out there where you live.
I'm sure. But I'll tell you, people, they expect certain things and they don't see it, and so they build their own expectations, and then it creates this discouragement, and then sometimes they lash out, obviously, at others, because you didn't keep my expectation, what I expected you to do. It happens in marriage, right?
Sure. And we're going to leave that subject quickly. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right. Well, that would be for another topic.
We'll have you back on.
Expectations in marriage. There you go.
So as part of overcoming discouragement, just that we all get together and agree to lower our expectations?
That would be nice. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe that would work. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that could also slip in.
I do think there's some benefits, though, to discouragement.
Okay, let's talk about that.
I think that, you know, it does create in you this desire to get it right, and to grow in Christ, to grow deeper in your maturity with Christ, because I think, you know, if we can lose that love of temporal things and start focusing on the eternal, it that's where I think is the benefit.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden I'm like, oh, you know, this really isn't that important. And so why am I discouraged about this when really it's just a temporal issue?
Yes.
And I've got to remind myself of that quite often. That this is just the flesh. This isn't anything, you know, that's going to last.
Yeah.
This came kind of real to me just about a month and a half, 2 months ago now. My brother-in-law died of COVID.
Oh.
And he was in his 80s. He'd had a lot of other issues behind it. It wasn't just COVID. But I loved him. He was like a brother to me. And when my brother-in-law died, I thought, wow, I expected that he would be around. You know, I mean, he's visited us here in Kansas City several times with my sister, who is his wife. But I'm just thinking, wow, I expected something different.
Yeah.
But I had to keep eternity in mind.
Mm-hmm.
He's with the Lord. He was a pastor all of his adult life, an assistant pastor. And so I just realized that, hey, Ken's with the Lord. There's nothing I can do about that.
Yeah.
And keeping eternity's what the old song said, you know, eternity's values in view.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. I just yesterday I was sharing with the folks during our worship time, sharing from the Word. I just made the statement, and it's true. And I just thought it was sort of ordinary, but I said, you know, you think about the homes we live in, we're thankful for the homes we live in, the roof we have overhead, but that isn't home. This is not home. It was interesting. It was just, you could almost, just that statement, not that I, you know, that I made it, but the power of it, just, you could almost hear people kind of rock back. Yeah. Like, wow, this isn't home.
Yeah.
And to think about our eternal home. Yeah. And I want to try this one on you as well, because I think it's sort of a slight variation of where you're going, but you think about eternity, but also to have a view that's focused on self. I looked up this verse, and just so I get the reference right, but Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. And I don't know if dismayed and discouraged, I think they're in the same, same sphere. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I love Isaiah, how so often God speaks in Isaiah in the first person. I'm going to do this. This is me, mine, I. But, why not be dismayed? Because I'm with you. I'm your God. I will strengthen you, help you, uphold you. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of promises packed into one verse. That's Isaiah 41:10, if you want to jot that down, someone. But to put the focus not on me. And when I put focus on me, there's a lot to be discouraged about, because I'm not where I should be. I'm not as mature as I should be. I'm still struggling with things that I wish were settled long ago, but that you're still part of the struggle of humanity. But this fact of, if I can get my focus off of me, the self-focus off of me, and put it back on God, what he says he will do, and sometimes I do this, and my wife is very good at this. So, sometimes I'll be moaning about something and she'll just say, is God strong enough? Is God big enough? Has he ever handled anything like this before? And it's like, And so, let's talk about how do you change that focus from self to back to the Lord, and maybe how you've experienced it, maybe how you've helped someone else in that.
Well, I think some of it is what is it about yourself that you're focused on? In other words, what is it that is making you think so much of yourself, in a sense? Not, I don't mean that as being boasting about yourself, but what is it about you that's so important that it's above putting your focus upon God and who he is? Just like what you said, the slap across the face. But I think that is part of it. That starts kind of the ball rolling. Okay, what is it about you that you're focused on, or that you think needs to change? And then give that to God. I mean, give that over to him. It's that old adage, lay your heavy burden at the cross, take it to him, and don't try to hold on to that. There was a quote, I wrote it somewhere one day here, just the other day I saw it. It came across from, what's his name? I'll remember, Jerry Bridges. You know who Jerry Bridges is? Who's written a lot of great little books. Mm-hmm. But he was writing about anxiety in The Practice of Godliness is the name of the book. The Practice of Godliness by Jerry Bridges. I highly recommend it. But he was talking about anxiety more than discouragement, but I think it's all kind of a ball of wax here. But he says, the great antidote to anxiety is to come to God in prayer. We are to pray about everything. Nothing is too big for him to handle, and nothing is too small to escape his attention.
Wow. Wow, isn't that good?
I thought, now that is so true, because what I usually do is when I begin focusing on myself, I'm thinking, oh, poor me, or what, why can't I measure up, or, why am I turning gray in my beard and not on my head, and, get discouraged. You put your anxiety on him. You turn to him in prayer, and it changes the whole perspective. Mm-hmm. Because God takes that and uses that to turn us around.
Yeah. Well, that's
I think that's a start. And as you begin identifying, well, what is it about myself I don't like, or I'm discouraged about, or I'm focusing on myself, then come to him in prayer, because we're supposed to take everything to him in prayer.
Right. Do you think, I don't want to get too judgmental sounding, but do you think, is this accurate that when we're discouraged, the Lord understands our, you know, he understands we're human. He understands our weakness. Yeah. He understands, certainly he's not finished with us yet, but in some ways we're really, there's a lack of trust there. There's a lack of confidence. Maybe, you know, our own lack of confidence in ourselves is sort of projected onto God. Because if we really believe he's God, he loves us unconditionally. He gave us Christ when we were yet sinners, etc. You know, we have every reason not to be discouraged. We have every reason to be encouraged and encourage others. But so it's really, am I going to live by my feelings or my faith? Would that be an accurate way to say it?
Well, discouragement is, or being discouraged is, a feeling. And I think if that's the thing that's driving the train, you know, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If your feelings are doing that.
Right.
Because what'll happen is then to try to deal with the discouragement, then we turn to outside sources like entertainment and sports and travel and even their career, even a career. I mean, you can, you know, and then, of course, tragically, some turn to drugs and alcohol and everything else. But all these things kind of dig deeper into the discouragement then. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, some become so discouraged they take their own lives.
Right.
So I think to stop that process is what I was talking about. Think about, okay, what is it that is about me that's so important that I'm focusing on me?
Yeah. Mm. It's a good measure of spiritually informed self-awareness, scripturally informed self-awareness.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just switch this slightly, because I know you've had experience with this. You know, college students and cross-cultural missionaries and people in a church, people you've worked with. Where do you begin when someone is discouraged? Maybe also, what are some things to not do when you're trying to get them out of discouragement?
Well, the first is identify what is it. What is that discouragement? When does it happen, and how, and what is the focus of it?
Okay.
That's usually what I deal with first. I had a missionary in a third world country who I visited quite often in that country, and he was very discouraged. And so I started focusing on, okay, what is it that, what happens that make you feel this way? Well, I'll tell you, anybody be discouraged in a third world country if you're an American, and especially that country, which is one of the poorest countries in the world. And I said, look, what is it that focuses? He said, these people just don't have anything, and I can't provide it. And I said, you can't provide it. Could God provide it? Well, I don't know, you know, because it's pretty far-fetched. Think he'll provide it? I said, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I took him back to the Word and started helping him understand that there is a focus that he need, or something he needed to refocus his mind on, and start refocusing on what God can really do and what he can't do.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I like that. It's if I could just paraphrase what you just said, it's discouragement is a misplaced focus. You're focusing on the wrong thing, usually self.
Yeah.
What I don't have, can't do, been through.
Yeah.
You know, but what can God do? And
I found out through that, by the way, that he had a lot of guilt about it. A lot of guilt. And we had to deal with the guilt then in his life.
Okay.
And it, well, he had to. I mean, I couldn't do anything about it.
Sure.
But he did. He had to deal with it, because then he confessed, you know, I just feel guilty for having what I have, you know, and they don't have this. And so we had to deal with that.
Okay.
As kind of a side issue, because I think dealing with guilt in your life really does lead you to an answer to discouragement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
And that can be, you don't have to be a Christian or a believer in Jesus to have discouragement. You know that, and I know that. Sure. I mean, there's people out there who are discouraged, but a lot of it is based upon guilt that they've just piled on, and they don't realize it.
No place to go with it.
Yeah, and that's what's a great opportunity to share the gospel then.
Right, right. Because that's where our guilt goes. That's where our our place. It's all in Him. Very good. You know, Paul says he would glory, wouldn't glory anything but the cross.
Right.
And
yes,
you know, it, that's where it all starts and where it's all, you know, starts and finishes right there.
Yeah. Now, you know, once you've dealt with that initial, where's your focus and why, what is causing this? In other words, what is causing the guilt in a sense is what you're doing is then to not just deal with the guilt, but the long term is an issue, because like for this person, they were living there. For me, I'm in and out.
Yeah.
I don't have to deal with it day by day or week by week, or month by month. He does. So how is he going to deal with that then? But my discouragement is the same thing. When I get discouraged, I can still keep coming back to it. In other words, the discouragement can keep coming back.
Right.
If I don't have something in place to deal with that. And I go back to, you know, in Colossians, you know, putting on the good when there's something that you need to take off, taking off this pattern and putting on a good pattern of life. And how do you do that when you're in the middle of it?
Mm-hmm. And do you think having, as you described that scenario with this missionary serving in a very difficult, as you described, a third world situation, and I found this true for me, someone to give me the outside perspective,
mm-hmm.
to help me see what I don't see, because we all have these huge blind spots.
Sure.
And that's why I think God brings us into community, into church, and with other believers, and why He lets people, you know, connect with other believers and so forth.
Most
because
definitely.
We need that. We need that. Yeah. Do you think living in isolation is a pretty good recipe for discouragement for most people?
Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah. That's one of the best ways to. if you want to be discouraged, just don't talk to anybody. Don't leave your house. Hold yourself up in a room. And
Well, you've just described the last year for many of us. So
yes, that's right. Exactly.
So maybe this is why we're all feeling discouraged. That might be a big part of it.
Well, I think a lot of it is. I think a lot of it is this pandemic that's caused us to be isolated and, and kind of stuck away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. Well, good. Well, thank you. That is very helpful. I love, you know, what you mentioned two or three times about getting to the cause. If you don't get to the cause,
you're just
putting a Band-Aid. You're putting a mask on it. You know, what's that cause?
We call that the root.
Yes.
The root of this and try to get rid of it or at least figure out where the root is planted.
Yes.
So that it can bring forth good fruit, not bad fruit.
Right. Good, good. Well, very good. Well, very good. Well, we're about out of time, but what a good discussion. And I feel like we've gotten this far and we could just keep going.
Oh,
I always feel that way when we have guests on. But you have been with CrossWorld, associated with CrossWorld for a number of years, and a cross-cultural international missions agency. Maybe folks would at least like to know how they could be informed about your ministry. Maybe there's a website or anything you want to share. I want to give you that opportunity because you've been so kind to come and share with us. Maybe there's something we could pray or otherwise share with you.
Yeah, CrossWorld, our byline is all professions, one mission. The idea is that Crossworld accepts people from all kinds of professions, literally, not just pastors and teachers and what we call the traditional missionary or the one going to make disciples of plant churches.
Right.
That's not our only focus. It's on all professions. So we have all kinds of people coming to us. The one thing that we desire is that they can make disciples. If they can't make disciples, there's no use in going to another culture to try to do it. So we're interested in disciple makers from all professions, bringing God's love to life in the unreached areas of the world, marketplaces of the world. So we're basically going to unreached areas. Now we have had people over the years. We've been a traditional mission back in the day. We're almost a 90-year-old mission. So it's been around for a while. Okay. But if people would like to know more about it and how they can engage with it, they can go to the website. It's just crossworld.org.
Okay, crossworld.org.
Crossworld.org. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, very good. Well, very good. That's you know, sometimes we, you know, think a missionary has to fit this template.
Yeah.
But probably how many countries in the world does the Crossworld have folks in and ministries in?
We're in about 30 countries.
Really?
And we have close to 280, 290, I think, out there now. We used to have over 300, and with what's happened in our world becoming so global now, many of our brothers and sisters in other countries are now sending missionaries.
Good.
Or people. So, like Brazilians are going to Madagascar and to Portugal and other places.
Yeah, well, very good. Well, very good. One more time, that's crossworld.org.
Yes.
And so good. Well, God bless you, my friend. Keep at it. You've been a faithful servant of the Lord for a long, long period of time. And congratulations. I think you told me not long ago, you and Gloria celebrated 50 years of marriage.
Yeah.
Was that last year or recently?
No, June 26th.
Just last month. Okay, just a few days ago. Well, very good. Well, congratulations on that.
Thanks.
And give Gloria our best. So thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. And thank you for talking about the important subject. Hopefully we've given someone a nudge or an encouragement. And as I said at the beginning, maybe this is not for you, but you can be an encouragement to someone else. So stick around, Dwight. We're going to talk offline just a little bit, but we're going to sign off of our stream today.
Well, thanks a lot, Jesse.
Okay, thank you all for joining us. Appreciate that.